Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. It's a pleasure now to welcome Dr. George Hammond, Director and Research Professor, Economic and Business Research Center at the University of Arizona Eller College of Management. Dr. Hammond, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sinclair. It's great to be here.
University of Arizona recently held an economic forecast luncheon. You were a featured speaker, along with Dr. Anthony Chan, chief economist from Chase. Dr. Chan was really quite bullish.
Yes, I think he's pretty optimistic about what may be in store for the national and global economies.
Do you share that optimism?
I do think we actually have a fairly good chance to see continued growth in the national economy, perhaps even somewhat faster growth in the national economy than we've seen over the past couple of years.
Well, the economy moving into the here we are in the final month of 2016, and this has been a pretty good economy overall. I mean, it hasn't been rip roaring hot and sizzling. But it's been solid and steady, I would say.
Yeah, I think solid and steady is a good way to think about it, particularly in terms of labor market performance. You know, job growth has been solid. The unemployment rates continued to come down. You know, real gross domestic product growth, which is our broadest measure of economic activity, started out the year a little bit weak, but it looks like it's come back strong in the third quarter, and I think we've got a good chance to carry that momentum into the fourth quarter and into 2017.
So moving into a new year and most notably a new administration, a new presidential administration, President-elect Trump is going to inherit a reasonably strong economy. That should be a good starting point. The question is, he's talked about doubling economic output. Are those reasonable expectations, I suppose, from these levels?
Doubling economic growth, you know, from the roughly, you know, 2% rate that we've seen since the end of the Great Recession up to 4% is that would be a bit of a stretch, in my opinion. It's not totally out of the question, but that would take something pretty special, I think, in the next year for that to happen. But I think, you know, we will see stronger growth in 2017 than we did in 2016, just because we're coming out of 2016 with some pretty strong momentum. So I think, I think that President-elect Trump is inheriting a fairly solid, a fairly strong economy.
What are we seeing here in Arizona, and specifically down in the Tucson area? Phoenix, of course, leads the state, I believe, as far as overall power and population.
Overall, the Phoenix has been and continues to be really the engine of growth for the Arizona economy. It tends to grow much faster than most of the other areas of the state, and that's still true. Arizona is, at least in terms of job growth, growing at a fairly solid pace. At or a bit above the national pace. Most of that strength is coming again out of the Phoenix metro area, which is growing significantly faster than the national economy. Overall, Tucson continues to grow and has picked up a little bit of speed so far in 2016, but even so is growing slower than the kind of rates that we're seeing out of the Phoenix metro area.
What are your forecast for Arizona and for Tucson moving into 2017?
Well, overall, I think that we'll see continued growth in the Arizona and Tucson economies. For Arizona, I think it's kind of more of the same. We'll see that fairly solid overall economic growth continue. I think we'll grow faster than the national economy by most measures. But I don't think we're gonna come close to matching the kinds of growth rates that we saw during the 30 years before the Great Recession began. For Tucson, I actually think there's a chance to pick up some pretty significant momentum over the next couple of years. It looks like 2016 is going to be a stronger year than we saw in 2015, and I think there's a good chance that we'll see the Tucson area build on that momentum as we go into 2017 and 2018.
Arizona has lagged the country as far as jobs, at least in regards to the measurement of the unemployment rate. We're still around 5.2%, national economy at 4.6% unemployment rate. Is there a chance that we will get in line with the national unemployment rate, maybe even drop below the national? Or are there some other factors at work, maybe demographic factors or something?
Well, I think we have made significant progress in terms of driving the unemployment rate down. Our unemployment rate, of course, coming out of the Great Recession in 2010 was much, much higher than the national rate. Made a lot of progress in terms of driving the unemployment rate down. We're getting closer to the national rate. I think we'll continue to close that gap next year.
So it was just that we were so far down during the recession, it's taken this long to get even close to parity again.
Yeah, exactly. It's the magnitude of that shock. I mean, it's difficult to overestimate how big that hit was to Arizona during the Great Recession, that kind of 2007 to 2009, 2010 period. Mm-hmm. Just to give you a sense of that, Arizona's peak-to-trough job losses during the Great Recession were about 12% of total employment, whereas nationally it was about 6% of total employment. So just as a rule of thumb, Arizona got hit twice as hard as the national economy did. So it's just taken us a while to build our way back to parity with the national economy in terms of the unemployment rate.
Is it possible that there was permanent damage done from that or near permanent damage?
Well, I think what there was significant damage to the to the real estate sector. I'm not sure it was permanent, but certainly it was long lasting.
Structural.
And it's created, the response to the Great Recession is part of that is regulatory. Part of it is just some, fairly understandable caution on the part of lenders in terms of overall policy stance. And I think that has helped to slow down growth as we have, gradually recovered from the Great Recession. You also want to keep in mind that Arizona, historically has tended to be driven by what we call growth sectors. And those are sectors that are driven by population growth.
Mm-hmm.
Construction, real estate, retail trade, all sectors that have traditionally been driven by population growth. And one of the things that we've seen is that since the end of the Great Recession, residential mobility across states in the nation has been much lower than it was before we went into the Great Recession. Some of that is attributable to the slow wage growth that we've seen. Some of it's attributable to the housing shock. There are still large numbers of households that are underwater on their mortgages. And that's kept people from moving around the U.S. to the same extent that they were before the downturn. And that means that while Arizona is still generating, rapid population growth compared to most states and compared to the nation, it's population growth that's far below what we saw, during the 30 years before the Great Recession. And that's held down all of our growth sectors.
And how is real estate in the Tucson area these days?
Overall, what we're seeing in Tucson is slow growth in overall housing permit activity. We're seeing house prices continue to rise. The most recent data suggests they're rising somewhere in the neighborhood of the pace that we're seeing nationally. But, the house prices in Tucson, Phoenix, Arizona as a whole are still, well below where they were at their peak. And if we adjust that data for inflation, where house prices are 30% below their peak in most areas of the state.
That's still very significant. That affects a lot of areas.
Yes. What's going on with the real estate residential construction sectors overall is it's a process of gradual readjustment. Some of that slow readjustment has been driven by the slow population growth. Some of it's been driven by factors that are specific to the construction and real estate sectors. particularly in residential real estate, that we're seeing labor shortages. Some builders are talking a lot about difficulty in finding lots at affordable prices in desirable areas. So it's a variety of factors that are all in the mix here.
Are you starting to see a tightening of inventory in the Tucson residential sector?
I think there is a bit of a tightening in that inventory. One thing that we are seeing, at least in terms of construction job growth, is that it looks like it's bouncing back quite a bit faster in Phoenix and the state as a whole than it is so far in the Tucson area.
Hmm. And then you mentioned that there is a shortage of skilled labor in the construction trades. That might not come back, or it might be many more years until those trades are fully staffed again because of that downturn that we've seen. This is a very unique residential marketplace that we're seeing these days, I think because of those reasons and perhaps others. Let's dig in a little bit further. What are you seeing as far as consumer spending these days? What are you seeing in Arizona and Tucson?
Well, overall, we're seeing fairly slow growth in overall sales tax revenues. So we're seeing growth, but it's again, it looks like fairly slow growth. Some of that may be due to the shift from brick-and-mortar type spending by consumers to more and more online spending, which is only partly picked up by the tax revenue system. Overall, you know, income growth remains a concern for the state. And, you know, income growth is key because that drives growth in retail sales. It drives growth in lots of things, including the housing sector as well. And what we're seeing is growth in overall income levels in Arizona, but it's slow growth, both compared to our own past history, even after adjusting for inflation, and it's a bit slow compared to the national average. So, you know, that remains a concern, and really the key metric to track in terms of overall income growth is what's going on with wages. Particularly in terms of wages per worker, Arizona and the national economy is in the same boat. But Arizona, as well, has really struggled to generate more rapid wage growth, and we're still, you know, really waiting for that. Once we see that faster wage growth, we'll see stronger income growth, and then we'll see sales growth pick up some more momentum once that happens.
We'll dig into that in just a moment as we continue with Dr. George Hammond, from the University of Arizona, a director and research professor of the Economic and Business Research Center, University of Arizona, Eller College of Management. We'll be right back. Money Radio, thank you so much for joining us today. We're talking with Dr. George Hammond from the University of Arizona. He is a wildcat who has been brave enough to come up here to Sun Devil territory and talk with us. I can't kid you too much. You guys beat us this year.
That's right. We will not stop talking about that for another year.
I know you won't. Arizona has traditionally been a low-income state. That's still the case, and there's nothing on the horizon that I guess would really change that.
Well, it's true that in terms of per capita personal income, Arizona's level is far below that of the national economy, roughly, you know, 17-18% below the U.S. And what primarily drives that is the wage gap. Wages are relatively low in Arizona, and that accounts for about 10 percentage points out of that 17% gap. The biggest difference is in the wages, but demographics also matter. And we also see a relatively low employment-to-population ratio, which accounts for about another 3.5 percentage points. And the last chunk is dividends, interest, and rent, which is relatively low in Arizona and is in part driven by house prices. So that big house price shock that we experienced during the Great Recession is still being felt, at least based on that indicator. But at the end of the day, for me, it really boils down to what's going on with wages.
What effect has some of the changes in immigration and Arizona's immigration policy had on wages in the state, if any?
Right. Well, that one thing that we know is that the gap between Arizona and U.S. wages per worker is not primarily driven by either our industry mix or our occupation mix. And if we look at wages per worker by industry or wages per worker by occupation, they're just lower across almost all industries and occupations in Arizona. So it's really not the mix of industries or occupations that's driving things. It's the relatively low wages. You know, economists in the state are really looking hard at what may be driving that. And I don't think anybody's completely disentangled all the various forces. But certainly one force that matters is just the relative attractiveness of the state to migrants. And you might think of it this way. As Arizona's wages start to rise relative to the national economy, it tends to generate migration flows into the state that then drive wages back down. And those migrants could be coming from Iowa or Chicago or California, but they could also be coming, or at least in the past, from outside the state or even outside the nation. So that could be individuals coming up from Mexico, either documented or undocumented. That's probably a factor that matters, that relative attractiveness of the state to people who live in other parts of the country. Another factor that you want to keep in mind is educational attainment. You know, if we go back to 1940, Arizona was above the national average in terms of the college attainment of the working age population. Where it stands today is that we're significantly below the national average in terms of that bachelor's degree or better educational attainment. And that is likely contributing to the wage gap at this point. And we are at least demographically set to see that education gap with the nation grow. And that's going to make it really hard for us to close the wage gap and the income gap.
That runs across all levels of education from preschool up through post-grad work these days. The lack of funding, I think, is probably one of the biggest problems there.
I think funding is certainly a big part of the issue, really across the education spectrum from K through 12 up through college. There are opportunities there for us to make big improvements in our college attainment rate. You know, we've seen growth in the college attainment rate really slow nationally, and it slowed even more rapidly in Arizona. And one of the things that you notice about Arizona is that we have a relatively large share of our population is Hispanic. And what you notice about the Hispanic population is that their college attainment rates tend to be relatively low. And that's true nationally, and it's true in Arizona as well. And that, it seems to me, is really an opportunity for Arizona to really boost its college attainment rate relative to the national economy. And I think if you look around states in the West, it's going to be the states that do the best job in terms of getting the Hispanic population college attainment rate raised as quickly as possible. Those are going to be the states that do the best and that really win in the long run.
Probably the best bang for an investment buck that you can find anywhere is in education. It may not be the fastest return on investment, but it's the best and probably the biggest that we could see anywhere. I do want to talk with you as well, particularly because of your proximity to the border. We've seen the dollar just skyrocket lately. What effect is the strong dollar having on trade across the border, particularly in relation to the Mexican peso? The dollar is, I believe, at an all-time high now.
That's true. The dollar is at an all-time high relative to the peso. Has been in the neighborhood of 20 pesos per dollar since the election. And that's a big deal. You know, the dollar's been rising rapidly against almost all currencies since about the middle of 2014. But it's been rising particularly rapidly against the peso. We're at an all-time high against the peso. And when the dollar is high versus a foreign currency like the peso, that tends to put downward pressure on our exports and upward pressure on imports. And we're starting to see the overall merchandise exports weaken. The year-to-date through September, Arizona's merchandise exports to the world are down almost 5%. They're down just over 10% to Mexico. And you want to keep in mind that merchandise exports are just one slice of the overall export picture. We also export services. And what we mean by that is that when Mexicans visit the state to buy things, to vacation here, that is an export of a service.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, one of the ways that we track what's going on with Mexican visitors is to look at legal northbound border crossings. And if we look at personal vehicle passenger crossings from Mexico to Arizona or through Arizona ports, what we see is that those border crossings have begun to slow over the past 2 years. You know, if we go back to the middle of 2014, those crossings were rising at a pace of about 10% per year. and they're now down to a rate of increase of about 0%. So they've essentially plateaued, and it's likely that that's being driven by the relatively high value of the dollar versus the peso.
Dr. Hammond, joining us today from the University of Arizona Eller College of Management, with an outlook for the economy, specifically for the Tucson and Arizona economy. Dr. Hammond, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for the insights today.
Sure. Great to talk to you again, Sinclair.